back to the War at 33 and a Third podcast. I'm Adam Barrow.
I'm Benjamin Richardson.
And today we're going to be discussing Loveless, the sophomore effort from Irish shoegaze band My Bloody Valentine.
My Bloody Valentine is an Irish band formed in Dublin. It is founded by Kevin Shields, who is their lead guitarist and lead singer and lead songwriter, and drummer Colm O'Shea-Shoig. Sorry if I'm butchering that pronunciation. And he's their drummer. Also in the band is Belinda Butcher, who is vocals and rhythm guitar, and Debbie Gouge, who's their bass player.
Yeah, so My Bloody Valentine definitely sounds like a crappy 2000s, 2010s emo band name, but they are very, very different. Shoegaze is like a kind of
niche of alternative rock.
Yeah,
like a combination of noise rock, pop, dream pop, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So shoegaze, the origin of that name is those bands in concert would typically be using a ton of effects pedals on their guitars, and as such would be constantly looking down to measure like noise levels and whatnot. So they'd be looking at their shoes, and they would typically present a pretty disinterested look to audiences.
So that is super cool. I did not know that at all.
Such is the origin of the name. Right. So yeah, tons of effect pedals. So just huge, big walls of sound, like droning guitars, relatively like softer vocal performances.
Right.
A little more melodic. If you're familiar with like dream pop,
right.
Pretty similar stuff.
Right. And as you were saying, like a lot of these vocals on the album, they're just like the last thing kept in mind during the mixing.
Yeah. So this album is like, really has its own distinct style, even among the shoegaze genre. Just really distinct sound. And that's going to be our primary focus, we think, during this episode. The songs, this is not a negative whatsoever, but the songs do run together a little bit. Some of them, there just aren't as many distinguishing qualities just because they're kind of doing the same thing. To some, that may feel formulaic, but we agree that it's not really a negative.
Right.
As a result of that, we're going to be focusing a little less on the actual songs themselves today.
Right. You just think of like a specific style done really well, but you know, by the end of the listening to the nature of the genre, it can be a little exhausting, I think.
That's fair. Yeah.
It's just the wall of sound can be a little bit samey at times to if you are not listening hard enough.
Yeah. Especially because they're so good. Like sometimes you listen to other stuff that gets the shoegaze label, and you're like, this just isn't quite as engaging. Like, this is boring.
Right.
To me, My Bloody Valentine never really gets there.
Right. It's still engaging. I mean, like, I don't know, man. I like, every time I listen to this album, there's something else you can hear just through the noise. And that's what keeps it interesting for me, is there's always a little detail to catch that you didn't hear before.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so, I mean, like we said, just big wall of sound. So throughout every single track, like I really don't know if there's a moment where there's not like a big distorted guitar sound playing. You know
right.
what I mean? Just like there's constantly that presence throughout the whole thing. I mean, like different chords, different like slightly different sounds getting played, but it's just always there.
Let me look through my notes, but I think there's actually one song that has like one like verse that doesn't have any guitar. And we might get to that later, but...
Gotcha.
But Adam is right. Like, other than that one moment, which was really rare to me, it's just completely noisy with guitars. Like, there's always two guitars playing at once for the most part.
And that's the thing. It sounds... just the general atmosphere of this album, it often sounds like there's 100 guitars getting played. That's how loud it is. That's how dense it is.
Right. But it could just be two guitars that are completely blown out.
That's what's really interesting. Ben, you want to talk a little bit about Kevin Shields' tremolo guitar?
Yeah.
Like, tremolo technique.
So, on certain songs in particular, like, especially the third track, the second track, Loomer, it's like, it sounds super unstable, and, like, the pitch is kind of, like, going in and out. And what I think it is it almost sounds as if he's grabbing his tremolo bar on his Strat or whatever guitar he has, and it sounds like he's wiggling it while he's strumming the chords. And it gives it, like, this really signature kind of going in and out sound. I can't really explain it.
Yeah, and that's considered a pretty pioneering technique. Like, nobody had really been doing that before, at least like all the time.
You've read about that?
Yeah, a little bit. I know very little about the actual guitar aspects of it.
Right, so that's just something I picked up on my ear, but
yeah,
that's cool that's like his thing, I guess.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Way
thing.
To put it.
He developed it, and they had an EP called Tremolo. Which I believe...
Right, it was at the EP before the release before this?
Yeah, they released like two or three in between their debut and this. I believe To Hear Knows Where may have been on...
A single?
May have been on Tremolo, yeah. I know Soon was on Glider, I believe.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Yeah, basically just big single packages for those two. And then Only Shallow, which is the first song on here, was released as a single.
Speaking of that song, what do you think of that song?
Yeah, so yeah, we can go and talk about Only Shallow. That's awesome.
Dude, I think that's a great intro.
It really is. So Only Shallow opens with
huge riff.
Yeah, a couple of massive drum hits. Da, 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 da.
Oh yeah, like a little fill or something like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And that just really sets the tone. And then the guitar, that's like on first listen, that was some of the loudest guitar I've ever heard.
Like, right, it sounds enormous. Huge.
And it creates a really cool effect in that song where it sounds like it's like lurching back and forth. Like, it sounds like a giant machine. Like,
And like on the, like in the intro when you hear that main riff and in between like verses, I guess, you hear that riff again. There's like, I don't know how to describe it. And that's a theme with me. Like, a lot of the sounds I'm hearing, I'm not sure like if it's a guitar blown out, if it's like
absolutely,
synth,
yeah,
if it's whatever, which is always something like I find super fun. It's like, what exactly are you listening mm-hmm. to? But, something that sounds like a, like an organ or something is going like, like in the background during those parts, and it just sounds so chaotic. Yeah,
I think what you're describing is where the vacuum meme comes from. It's like when people say like it sounds like a vacuum. Like some of this album sounds like there's a vacuum playing.
Dude, yeah, that's probably talking about that.
And I think that's where that comes from.
Vacuum.
That's my theory.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, going back to the different, like, styles of instrumentation, like, you never really know what's coming from. That's kind of, the production of this album is kind of a really interesting story.
Sure, so, you want to get into
that? Yeah, so a couple of years in the making, they released their debut, Isn't Anything, in 88. This came out in 91. So
Sorry about that, guys.
So 3 years, a couple of EPs in the middle. But this, Kevin Shields kind of went Mad Genius, kind of went Brian Wilson.
Yeah, a little bit pulled Roger Waters and took control of the whole album.
Yeah, absolutely.
From what I've heard.
So, Ben, yeah, like double-digit producers credited on this thing. Apparently all sat in the studio doing nothing because Shields would not let them touch buttons.
I even heard that Shields is the one playing like almost all the instruments, mm-hmm. even the ones he wasn't known to play.
Yeah.
including
bass. Did most of the songwriting, played most of the bass and drums. Our drummer, to my understanding, did have a like physical ailment during this time
mm-hmm.
and didn't really contribute much other than composing Touched, the third track, which is just a little instrumental.
Right.
Quite
a chaotic interlude.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Shields became incredibly difficult to work with, was firing and like stopping producers, mixer, engineers, all that stuff, trying to do everything himself. Took him about 3 years to make. Reputed to have cost all the Shields and other members of the band have like attempted to discredit this, or reputed to have cost £250,000 to make, and also reputed to have put the label that put this album out into bankruptcy. So,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty tumultuous recording, like Ben said. Everything that you hear where it's like, like you don't know what's going on, or it sounds too crazy, sounds like they just didn't produce it right. Like, everything you hear on this album is incredibly, like, painstakingly intentional.
Right.
Which is, to me, very interesting.
You know, and this is kind of like the narrative you expect from, you know, a genre magnum opus like this.
Yeah.
Some would call this, like, the best, you know, most influential shoegaze album.
For sure.
But that's always the story you kind of associate with a crazy album like this, is just, like, the one guy going insane, getting everything right.
Yeah.
Right. That kind of narrative.
For sure.
But very cool. Very cool story.
Other bit of like lore on this album is the tour.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about this.
Yeah, where So, I didn't mention this earlier, but Shields and Butcher both came down with tinnitus just because they were playing so loud in the recording of this album. And then the music press accused My Bloody Valentine of criminal negligence because of how dang loud they were playing the music during the tour that followed this album to promote it.
And that's just kind of hilarious.
Yeah, like it's just kind of a...
Like, I was thinking, like, imagine
stuff surrounding this one.
Imagine going to a concert and, like, you start hearing Only Shallow, like, that huge riff, and you're just like, ah!
You know what I mean? Like, your ears are splitting.
Hell on earth.
Yeah. Horrible.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. So,
is there any, like, particular tracks you want to talk about or any points about the album you want to talk about?
So, I really... Yeah. I mean, like we said, pretty much every song on this album kind of follows similar formatting. Where it has, like, your big loud guitars, just creating that, like, big dense wall of sound.
Mm-hmm.
Singing, like Ben mentioned, lyrics are for the most part indecipherable.
This is like the vaguest album you've ever heard.
Yeah, lyrics for the most part, you can't make them out. And I kind of like how they just kind of flow in. They just kind of add into the wall, just creating that little extra bit of melody.
Right. It definitely adds to the aesthetic of everything being ambiguous, not knowing... You know, what he's saying or where it's coming from, sort of idea.
Yeah, and that's definitely another part of this album is that it's definitely, like, it's easy to think you hear us describing it. I could see how it would be easy to think, like, this would be, like, a non, like, could be kind of lacking in melody, right? But it's...
I think it's carried a lot by melody.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very melodic. A lot of it's really catchy, even if it's just, like, a riff or a keyboard thing. Like...
Yeah, I'd say, like... almost all the songs, I can't say all of them, but almost all of them start with, like, a riff, sort of, or, like, just some really catchy melody with, like, either played on synth, guitar, whatever. Yep. And then it always is, like, the song melodies are super catchy and carry the songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of the bit we've neglected to mention, is that it really is, like, super catchy.
Right. And you know, it's very simple songs, I'd say, like, very simple song structures, but just with... Just to make it not... It doesn't need to be any more complicated because there's so much instrumentation that goes into the tracks.
Yeah.
So I'd say, like, the simple song structure is definitely on purpose because it would just be overwhelming if it was, like, you know, like, prog stuff with this type of layering. Yeah. You know what I mean? It just would get all lost.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't be able to make it out. Like, that's kind of the thing.
It would be hard to listen to, I'd argue.
Yeah, like, I connected the... Like, just in listening to this, I thought a lot about Husker Du. How they kind of made, like, really noisy,
like, post-hardcore punk band.
Like really noisy hardcore leaning punk, but there were, like, really, like, kind of almost sugary melodies kind of buried in there.
Sure.
And, like, sometimes you gotta focus a little bit to really hear the melodies in this one, like, for them to kind of, like, worm their way out. Once you do, they're earworms for sure.
Right.
What's your favorite little, like, melody or little riff? Oh, what's your favorite?
It's a hard question, man. I'm not sure, dude. Honestly, that's a really hard question. Yeah. I think one of them stood out to me having, like, my favorite sung melody, but I think it's the one where they're doubled up.
You're thinking about When You Sleep?
When You Sleep. I think that's my favorite. With the two vocal melodies together.
I love When You Sleep. The little... The synth thing that it opens with.
It sounds like a Vox synth. It sounds like a person. Bit. It sounds like a human singing.
Uh-huh.
But that's with, like, any of this album. You wouldn't know what's in there.
Yeah. And some of the vocal performances are really good. Like, I love Blown a Wish, which is a Belinda Butcher vocal track. I love the guitar. It's kind of hard to explain, but it creates this sound where the guitar kind of sounds like it's going, like, ooh.
So during that song, I'm pretty sure, and this is the song that actually doesn't have, it has guitar in the intro, but, like, the first verse doesn't have guitar, I don't think.
Okay, yeah.
And then it comes back, like, whatever. But, like, I think he's just going, like on a wah pedal, going, like, a wah, 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 like, just strumming a chord and then just letting the wah be, like, some of the rhythm. Yeah.
And it creates, like, an ooh sound, and then... During the verses, right, you can kind of make out the lyrics a little bit on this one, a little better than most songs. And she uses you and two are her rhyme scheme for the whole thing. So the ooh sounds, and in the chorus is her going ooh. So it like it all comes ooh. Together and it sounds like a big ooh.
Ooh.
And it's just
yeah,
like,
it's definitely it's the really, ooh song.
yeah, like really, really comes together. It just has like a very like gentle and pleasing sure. sound. I really like that. I think that's a cool little trick.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. For on my listens, I thought "Blown a Wish" was like one of my less memorable tracks.
Really?
But that could just be the fact that it's, you know, like the later half of the album, close to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the back half, I mean, maybe a little less interesting. I think you can say that about most albums, really. But, I mean, I think "Soon" is a fantastic closer.
I was going to say, I think... Is sometimes on the second?
Yeah, sometimes as well. Right before
I think
"Blown a Wish."
Sometimes is one of my favorite songs from the album.
Yeah,
and so is "Sin."
Yeah,
actually,
sometimes is really cool because that you kind of get a break from the style a little bit. You still have the big like you have like your layer of electric mm-hmm. guitar, kind of making that noise, but it's really slow. And then there's like acoustic guitar strumming.
Sure, there's or like, I can't tell if it's
yeah,
like
it
electric,
exactly
but you definitely hear that really percussive strumming.
Yeah, and it just gives it like a gentler feel.
Well, what it might be is that this track has no drums. I don't know if
yeah.
you noticed.
Yeah,
has no drums, which is like the only one on the album, I think.
Yeah, and it creates like kind of a ballad feel. Very melancholy. Like you can make out the first bar pretty well. Like, close your eyes, feel me now. I don't know how you could not love me now. Like very right. very melancholy feel with the strumming and the no drums, like gives it kind of a ballad feel. I enjoy that.
Right. And another thing that probably contributes to the ballad feel is like they just really hang on the chords.
Mm.
You know, they play this chord and it strums for like a whole bar and then it's the next chord and then it gets like a whole two bars. And it really gives you time to appreciate the chord changes and also all the dissonances and harmonies within the chord. Like some of those chord voicings are really nice. You can even tell through the fuzz.
Yeah.
So that's something I really like about that song, like the slow, stately chord progression.
Hmm. Yeah, so on the opposite end of that spectrum, I'd say within their very distinct style is "Soon," which is kind of almost dancier. Yeah.
That's what I wrote at the top of my notes. Super dancey.
Yeah. Dun, 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 the little melody. Like,
bah, bah, dun,
so,
yeah.
It's like it's like one layer. It's like the verses have like I may be like kind of underestimating how much there really is to it, but
sure.
Like it sounds like two layers on the verses, and then one gets stripped away when you get to the little chorus, which is just like I don't even know what instrument it is, but it gives like a little dun 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 little dancing.
The way I describe that stuff is like arpeggiators. It's just they're playing like kind of like a pattern over and over again. Like there's tons of those on the album where there's like one or two note patterns.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, it actually has, like, the drums kind of come to the forefront more so than they do on the rest of the album on this one and play, like, a dancier pattern. There's a little tambourine.
I think there's, the tambourine, and is it this song that has cowbell? Yeah, this song has cowbell in it, mm-hmm. if you listen.
Yeah, so the percussion kind of comes a lot more to the forefront, which gives it a lot more rhythm to it. It's a fun song.
And I like the bass line in this. I pay a lot of attention to it. It's, like, super funky, especially on, like, the... like those parts where they're just kind of like jamming it out. Like the bass line is super funky. It's got a lot going on in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I like about this track.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
it's the longest one on there too.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. It's just like super. The way I describe a lot of these songs is they have like these really long and repetitive outros that are almost hypnotic, is the way I describe them.
Hypnotic to me, to "Hear Knows When," the fourth song right after "Touch," the instrumental.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, where it like. That song like barely changes all the way through. It has like kind of like a shimmering like keyboard or synth or whatever.
Yeah,
it has
like this jingle opener.
But it's not like a like the rest of them kind of use that sound as like a main melodic bit. But this it kind of flows in with the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the vocals provide a little more of the melody, I think, if I'm remembering that correctly. But yeah, it creates like a super hypnotic feel. The drums are a little higher up in the mix on this one is too.
Right.
And it gives it like a little more, like just doing the exact same thing the whole way throughout. So it gives it, like we keep saying, kind of a hypnotic feel.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And like you were saying, like you will notice changes in the way it's mixed throughout the album.
Hmm.
Like some songs you'll say like, wow, these vocals are like even more faint than the last song.
Yeah.
And then some songs you say, wow, these drums aren't as distant as the other song. And that's something I like. It's just like it's got a variety like between the tracks,
mm-hmm.
while all like being somehow consistent. It's really hard to explain, but
yeah. Belinda Butcher's vocals are just like, she's perfect for the style they're doing, mm-hmm. where it's just kind of like wispy, kind of like fades away, like naturally, even without like all the extra
it's
stuff.
It's like breathy almost.
Yeah, kind of like kind of fleeting. And she doesn't do vocals on the entire thing. Shields does about half. But mm-hmm. She's a really good vocalist for it. Female vocals are kind of a recurring thing in shoegaze. Slow Dive, considered one of the other biggest shoegaze bands, also has a male-female vocal split, just like My Bloody Valentine does. Fits the style well.
Something I want to say before I forget, something really interesting I found, and I wanted to see if you noticed.
Yeah.
So, What You Want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice anything about, like, it kind of goes, the song, and what a lot of these songs do is they'll have this long outro of, like, repeated material, and then it'll go to, like, this kind of, you know, 30-second bit of different material to end the song, as opposed to just a fade out. You know, there's a lot of outros, I guess, like, separate outros.
Absolutely.
Well, during this one, it's kind of like these, like, fluty sounds, like, just, you know, arpeggiating and playing this pattern.
Oh.
But if you listen very closely, you can hear... Like, when I was listening to it, I was like, is my dad yelling downstairs? And I took off my headphones, but it was in the music, and it sounds like people are talking, like, in another room, muffled.
Really?
And if you listen really closely, like, you can almost make out what they're saying, and it's like, like, that sort of noise.
Yeah, I've not noticed that, actually.
And I thought, and it's definitely intentional, right? Because obviously, Kevin Shields would
have noticed that. How meticulous he is, yeah.
But it was just crazy. I mean, maybe you have to have, you know, a real quiet room with real nice speakers or something, but... It's a really cool detail I found in there.
I like how that outro, the drums from Soon start playing kind of quietly.
Yeah, like, that one like fades into the next.
Yeah, fades to the next. I love a good fade like that. Right. Especially when you don't overdo it. Like, just one like that.
Just to get you into the last track.
Yeah, very satisfying. Yeah, especially on the last track. Especially.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah, but and since we're talking about the outros and like the fade-ins and that, I thought the... Something I pay attention to is how bands end songs, because a lot of bands can't do that, and they just fade them all out. But I even wrote down, like, a key, like Only Shallow has a separate outro, To Hear Knows When does, When You Sleep does, and then some of them will just end on, like, a chord, mm-hmm. and then some of them will have a fade out. It's just, like, a good mix of all three of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really nice. So absolutely. I like the variety in song structure till the end, even.
The little outro lets you just throw in more sounds, too.
Sure.
Like just keep... pumping in new things, keeping it fresh.
Right, and instead of just saying, like, oh, we don't know how to end this, like, instead of just fading it out, like, it sounds like it's going to, let's just fade something back in real quick.
Yeah, decisive and intentional.
Right.
Absolutely.
I love that, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another song I really like, Loomer, the second track. I think it's the shortest real song on there.
Yeah, it is.
Touched is a little interlude.
Yeah, it's just interlude. A half track.
Yeah. But I really like Loomer. To me, the guitar on that one sounds the most
unstable.
Yeah, and it sounds like waves.
Right. It sounds like he's going the most ham with his tremolo technique.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like, and it's kind of gentle, and it's like, it sounds like it's washing over you and then washing back.
Sure.
I really love that sound. And the da, 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 I really love the little melody that's kind of buried in there after the verses.
Yeah, and like all the melodies with these like synth leads and stuff are just awesome, or guitar leads. I don't know what they are half the time.
And it's like this one, like really soft drumming. It's kind of slower tempo too, despite being a shorter song.
Right.
Just very, very tranquil.
Right. Put you to sleep music.
A little bit. Not in a bad way.
Not a bad
way. No. It's relaxing. It's not boring.
Right.
And that's kind of ironic to say that something that loud and that dense would be relaxing, but it is. I mean, it's just like a consistent like amount of noise. It's just kind of relaxing, I guess.
Dude, the loveless white noise.
Play Loveless when you want to go to sleep, guys.
For sure.
White noise machine replaced.
That's funny. Play shoegaze instead of white noise.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoegaze, to some, it may be like white noise, you know?
I was talking to my friend about this album, who's also a musician, and he said, you know, it's just a little too droney for him, you know?
Yeah, which is understandable.
That's fair.
It's not like, everybody's cup of tea.
Like, this is a meal of mashed potatoes, you know what I mean? But it's like the best mashed potatoes you've ever eaten, but it is that same soft texture all the way through.
That's a really good way to put it, actually. Yeah, it's
the same texture, but it's... really good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we talk a lot about how nice it is for, like, to have some variety in your music, have some variety in what you're putting out there within an album. But I mean, you can kind of create your own exceptions to that by the music just being excellent, like your style just being unique and excellent on its own.
Right.
You kind of, I mean, you kind of don't need it sometimes. You don't need that much variety.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, I mean, like I said, the style kind of has to be unique in its own way, which this definitely is.
Right. You know, it's not the first album we've talked about that we said is a little bit formulaic, like the R.E.M.
I know we mentioned that on R.E.M. Yeah,
but it's
sure.
Like anything done well enough and it has that original mm-hmm. sound, it's like you can't complain.
Yeah, again, some people may disagree with that. Like, it could be amazing, but if it's the same, if it's too
like
samey,
the perfect album
like
isn't
it.
That samey, dude.
Yeah. Some people will just never be satisfied if it's too samey, but that's not really us.
Sure. I think that sums up what I have to say.
Yeah, so...
You have anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about that, like this within the, like, kind of the pantheon of shoegaze. I mean, most people would consider it to be, like, kind of the defining album of the genre, which I'd agree with.
Sure, I mean, you know, I've only listened to 2 shoegaze albums. You
know, yeah, I don't know if I can talk much about that. A few more, but I'm not an expert by any means. To me, it's kind of interesting that, like... It's considered the defining shoegaze album, right? I definitely agree it's the best, but defining may not be the best word, just because of how unique it is.
So you wouldn't say, like, this represents other shoegaze albums very well because of how unique it is?
Mm-hmm. And how... I mean, Souvlaki by Slowdive, which I mentioned Slowdive a couple minutes ago, but that comes close, I'd say, to being this good.
And that's the other shoegaze album I've listened to.
Yeah, so yeah, pretty close to being equals there. But, I mean, though Loveless just kind of blows everything else out of the water in that genre. And that distinct, like, that, like, heavy wall of sound style with that much distortion. Like, most other stuff I've heard...
Isn't quite as fuzzy, right?
Yeah, not quite as fuzzy. Not quite as dense. It's, like, most of it sounds a little closer to, like, standard alternative rock or a little closer to, like... Beach House style dream pop. I know Beach House came way later,
right?
But like most of it sounds a little closer to that than it does to Loveless, where it's just that unique.
Sure.
So yeah, I think Loveless. That's kind of interesting. Is defining the right word? I mean, probably not, but who knows? I mean, is the best album defining, or is the album that most sums up the rest of the sound defining?
That is deep.
Kind of more philosophical debate there.
Yeah, not
more
sure.
So than the content of the music. But
so would you say that this isn't like a starter shoegaze album? Is that what you're saying? Or just isn't a shoegaze rep?
Yeah, it is shoegaze. Is it representative of the rest of the album? No. Other than the genre, like you said? Probably not. Starter? That's a good question. I mean, if you wanted to get into the genre,
right?
I'd say maybe listen to more Slowdive.
I agree with that.
Yeah, more Ride. But this is probably the best. Like, it's my favorite album that gets the shoegaze label. So I'd recommend it to anybody for sure.
Yeah, I love this album. So I'd recommend it to anybody as well. Whether you want to get into shoegaze or not, I think it's worth a listen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to us, guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Peace out.